Awesome. Miss, can you do another Scribe Plus, please? Because the transcriber joined in. I think it messed stuff up. Awesome. So, Ted, as I was saying, we resolved to just go through all the issues, make sure we can label them as important enough for V1.0, and so we can just cut a V1.0 soon, right?
Definitely.
Awesome. The next issue is 602. We're on traceability interop. And I linked it. This is raised by Corin Cooley. The notify endpoint, we have documentation for both, does not appear to have an identifier for the caller. This is the same issue that we had previously, which is we have did auth endpoints defined, but they're not actually defined. Hi, Patrick. Thank you for joining us. Apologies for the confusion about the time. Going forward, we're going to be going, using the same time, like 1:30 p.m., i.e. we would be starting now.
Okay. Mahmoud, this one we're looking at now, 602, seems outdated. Like, that is part of what we want to purge, right? So why don't we just close the issue?
Yeah, so 604 actually has the resolution for it, so I'm going to go ahead and close it, right? So 604. Or and I'm going to close it with that comment. Awesome. Next up, we have 589, which is raised by Manu. I believe we reviewed it recently. Patrick, you mentioned that you're going to be taking a look at this, right?
I'm sorry, what are we looking at?
Sorry, this is issue 589. Manu raised an issue saying we need to align the concept of workflows and BC API and traceability API. Yes. I believe on the last call you mentioned, well, this is early December, you mentioned that you're going to be taking a look at this and seeing if we can see what the discrepancies really are, right?
Yes. I've come much more familiar with the workflows, so maybe I can address the, well, the, just discuss it quickly on this call.
Please.
Yeah. So in the VC API workflows are used to start an exchange. So an example could be to start a VC API exchange or OIDC for VCI exchange or a DIDCOM exchange, for example. That's one use that would be made with a workflow. So you would call an endpoint, for example, called workflows slash, depending what ID the user give it, slash OIDC for VCI, and you would get return the information that you would need to sort of complete this exchange. So this is pretty different from what I'm understanding workflows are for and the traceability. Well, yes and no. Like from what I understand, workflows and traceability is for also for exchange, but more specifically presentation exchange. And it's really scoped for this. So I'm just wondering if this would step on any toes, if this would sort of go against the principle of workflows as defined here.
Yeah. So I think I agree with you. The workflows undefined in traceability refer to the idea that I may have many disparate credentials that are submitted to the same party that are related to the same thing. And I want you to make sure that you take a look at them all within the same light, i.e. this is a collection of credentials that you probably want to care about for this import flow, right?
Yeah.
Whereas workflows within VC API sound like a lot more shorter lived, and they're a lot more about exchanging specific things within
like it's for a short interaction between two parties. I think that's like one of the main use, because I was looking at the test suite and I noticed, for example, in the presentation exchange, there's actually a workflow field in the presentation, you know, in the presentation itself, which I've not seen it used like that on the VC API. So what are the thoughts between using it?
I think these are two fundamentally different concepts, right? I think that's where the misalignment is. And so maybe we can talk to the VC API group about possibly renaming their, what they're doing to use a different keyword, but it's they're just not the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So, Highness, please go ahead.
I'm surprised you guys are saying this. Manu joined like a month ago and we talked it over and it sounded like it was quite aligned. I haven't followed along, but at that point, it sounded much more like than what you're describing now. So
I think it's, we just misunderstood him or something is going on where maybe he misunderstood. Like it could just be that their workflows could also be used for longer term. And we're just pigeonholing it where it doesn't belong, if that makes sense. And to me, a workflow in the VC API context sounds a lot more like, I want to exchange these five credentials with you, and they're all about the same thing, but it's a very like narrow short-term thing. I don't know if this short-term thing is just my understanding and it's wrong, right? Or maybe my better understanding and it's just not accurate. Whereas traceability, obviously you're familiar, our workflows are very much about like, these are documents that I'm going to be sending you over the next month or so, or over the next 2 months, and they're all about the same import flow, right? We have
could you use the same workflow ID across multiple presentations if they're sort of around the same topic?
On our side, it's multiple presentations across a long period of time from multiple different parties. And that's a huge significant part of it.
Would it be fair to say like the traceability workflows are sort of a logical grouping of different credentials spread across different presentations?
Well, yeah. To be precise.
It's exactly that.
Yeah. It's to group multiple presentations and the credentials within.
And is this workflow ID actually used like programmatically for an exchange, or is just it lives in the presentation and it's for the whoever holds the presentation to sort of organize their credentials?
Yes. The second one. It's used for the receiver of the presentations, the holder, to do whatever they want with them. Probably going to be putting them in a collection or something like that, but they're, you know. Close to
so my first gut feeling around this is like, yeah, it's pretty different. Like a good example is like, for example, on the VC playground, right? When you have your issuer and he wants to issue a credential and you select, well, I want to issue this with the OIDC exchange. That would be like a workflow being initiated. And then you get returned your workflow exchange ID, because that's one thing. I don't think there's that concept of exchanges with workflows and traceability. So like in the VC API, you have your workflow. And then once you initiated your workflow, you get sort of an exchange of that workflow. And then that exchange endpoint is where you carry on the interaction and you get information how to move the interaction forward until it's resolved. So, okay.
So as an action item here, would I be able to ask you, Pat, to bring this up on the VC API group? And see
Yeah. There's the first meeting this afternoon, so I can definitely mention this.
I'm going to assign this to you to discuss with the VC API group about current understanding. Excellent. And I'm going to assign this issue to you, if that's okay. Excellent. Next up is interop summary page improvements. This is, I don't know if this makes sense, by the way. Basically what this does, the idea here is let's add a provider column for the table and then use the product of our name instead of the company name. This was brought up as an improvement that we may need to do going forward. Does anybody feel this is important to have in a V1 or do we feel like it's okay as is? It's not a heavy lift either way, but I'm personally not, I think it's nice to have rather than we need to have this for V1.0. But I'm looking for...
I agree with you, Mark, but this is, you know, nice presentation, not necessarily, I don't know, any kind of normative stuff that is important.
Does anybody else disagree with that?
I agree with you both.
Okay. Awesome. So I'm going to put a comment on it. This, or actually, we just move on, right? We don't label it and we keep going. Next one is update relevant unit tests to use accept headers. This is by Russell. Would you be able to walk us through this?
Sorry, playing tabs. I think, let's see. Trying to, I'm catching up on where this is. This is, we broke it into 605 and 606, and both of those are merged. So this actually, I think, should be good to close.
I think 606 was not merged. I think 605 was merged.
606 was, But I think
the resolution is up because they're adding to it. Chris, please go ahead.
We closed 606. That was a negative test because we didn't want to return an error if someone excluded the accept header. Rather, we just sort of have a default that happens.
Okay. So do we think this is done?
I think so, yeah. Both the things that we split it into are resolved, if not merged.
Awesome. And I'm going to go ahead and close this issue. Who initiates the transaction? This is, introduction says the presenting party initiates transaction, notifying the receiver. Don't find any normative requirements on this. So I think this is, this is issue number 544. Apologies for not linking it. This is about the available endpoint. And I think we said we're going to be removing this to get to this spirit, confirm that did auth is removed and add a section to on did auth. Sorry, add a section on OAuth. Do we have an OAuth section? Does anybody know?
No, I guess that's what remains here.
We have a few references to OAuth, but I'm trying to see if there's a section itself for OAuth, or if we need one. So we have a section that says implementations must support OAuth 2.0 client credentials, and then we talk about client credential grant, and we link to external specs. We have a presentation authentication that talks about in one place did authentication, which is going to be removed in a previous issue that we talked about. And then we have one that says OAuth 2.0 where the verifier establishes blah, blah, blah. I feel like we don't need more, but I'm not sure if I'm missing something.
That sounds good to me.
The intro says the presenting party initiates the transaction. Are there any normative requirements that says that the presenting party initiates a transaction, an interaction? I think that's the core question. If there's no normative requirement, we need to have one, right? Because we say something in the intro and we don't say something otherwise, right? Okay. So, sorry, I lost my tab, which is always fun. So the did auth removal is tackled in a separate issue, right? Please go ahead, Chris.
I'm looking at the section in the intro, and it seems to be describing did auth. Am I wrong there? Second paragraph.
In the interaction model, they're presenting party initiatives and interaction verifying the receiver. The representation is which computer this is used by the presenter for. Yes. So we can just remove this whole paragraph, right? The second paragraph. Is that?
I think we can remove it. Whether or not we need to replace it with something else, I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Patrick.
Just again, a quick question for workflows. Are they, these workflow idea, are they mainly meant to be used by issuers or verifiers or both?
Workflows?
Yeah, like the workflow ID, like who would actually use that ID? Like, is it both issuers and verifiers or is
people.
One?
Both people. Because as an issuer, well, as an issuer of a credential, I'm responsible for knowing what I want to put in the credential and I just send it back to you, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of the times the issuer party cares about letting you know that this credential is related to these other credentials in some way. And that's when you would use the workflow ID. The verifier cares a lot because to them, they're receiving, and here I'm using verifier as in holder also, like in the same flow, right? Mm-hmm. They care a lot because to them it's, I should put this credential with these other credentials in the same bucket, right?
Yeah, it's a bit of a business logic.
Yeah, it's layer. Both to me. Yeah.
Sure. Thank you.
So to issue 544, I'm going to put two action items. One is, did auth removal is tackled in 604? And then we should remove the second paragraph in the intro as this issue. Do we need to replace it with something else? I feel like we do. The intro otherwise is incredibly thin. Do we have any other issues that tackle the introduction? Yeah, there's a whole issue for fixes to the intro, which is 532. So, for issue number 532. So I think I'm going to go ahead and close this issue with that comment. Is everybody okay with that?
But then how are we going to get that paragraph out of the introduction? Isn't that still?
That's in 532.
Okay, great.
Unless that one does not specifically mention. Yeah, so it talks about presentation auth that doesn't belong here. So that's already in that issue. So I'm going to go ahead and close this one. Cool. Next up is normatively defining service endpoints. This is issue number 543. What is the meaning of each endpoint? Why do some of them require the client to be authenticated? Some don't and others don't have any requirement. So this seems pretty important to describe, you know, why one description for each endpoint and why we need to use it. Some of them are obviously outdated and we need to remove those. But I feel like this is a pretty important thing that we need to do, which is section 6, which is in massive need of an overhaul for sure. And this, you said you were working on it. Is this, I feel, my gut feeling is this is important to
V1.0. Definitely. Yeah. And certainly not all did auth has been removed. That's clear.
Yeah. Okay. So can I label this 1.0?
Yeah.
Excellent. And let's move on. So please go ahead, Patrick.
Sorry to be annoying, but I just want to make sure I understand. So ask earlier, like, who use workflow? I guess now my question would be, like, who would be the party that first creates the workflow ID? Typically.
Excellent question. This is the party that is submitting information to the receiver. So this is, it's probably the holder of the credentials, but I can see situations where it might be the issuer, but my gut feel is it's always like 99% of the time it's the holder.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else disagrees.
No, I agree. it has to be the, it's 100% holder.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything where the issuer would do it, but
I can't. It's communicated on a traceable presentation. When you are making a presentation, you're the holder.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then yeah, it's always the holder. Excellent. So we just finished 543. Next up is 534, which is one of a number of important things that I believe are very important, which is, hey, let's rewrite these specific sections to include, this one is on terminology, which is, let's define the terminology for trace interop in the trace interop spec. I think one of the things is we're saying this is one of those that's important to do when we're getting closer to cutting a V1. We are now getting closer to cutting a V1, so I'm going to go ahead and mark this as 1.0, unless anybody disagrees. Awesome. So this is 534. Next one is changes to section 4. These are a number of small changes that would be important to help rewrite section 4 to clean it up, including moving some items to a separate section with a potential title change to section 8, right? This is number 533. This was part of our last review where we went through the entire spec and we were saying, hey, there are some issues here, there are some issues there, let's walk through them. And please go ahead, Chris.
Is this now section number 6?
Today? Let me double check.
The previous one had talked about how section 4 had become section 6, and it looks like... So section 6 is the use cases and requirements, and that jives with your first checkbox.
Yes. So this is old section 4, new section 6, which is always fun. So I'm going to go ahead and modify the title for this. So section 6. And then I'm going to put a comment saying all references to section 4 are now to section 6. Use cases and files. Okay. And I'm going to put a 1.0 label, unless anyone disagrees.
Sorry to jump in again, but it appears that some of these have been done.
What I'll do is I'll just review these and make sure that they're, that this issue is correct and closed.
Okay.
And if it's done, I'll just check it off. Because I think we just had an idea of, like, there's an overhaul that needs to happen for a few of these sections, right? And we just noted them down.
Works for me.
Awesome. So fixes to the intro. This is next one, which is number 532. We had some grammatical issues in the intro. We had some issues where it had references to did auth. We wanted to change the title and we wanted to expand on all the points that are going to be in the new abstract, which is 528, right? Which we're going to get to in a second. So I feel like this is an important thing for V1.0 because it's going to help clean up our intro. Unless anybody disagrees.
Yeah.
Awesome. So this is 532. Next one is number 531. I believe you just removed these examples. So this is move specific examples to the appendix. And to my understanding, this, you removed them. Unless I'm missing something. Like remove them in a PR. Right?
Come again? Sorry, I didn't.
Sorry. So this says move specific examples to the appendix. We had CVP specific workflow examples that are listed.
Oh, yes. This is the wrong repo though. That was vocab. So why is this here? Oh, it is vocab.
Well, there's it's related to trace vocab 853.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, it seems like we can close this.
Oh, are there any specific examples on the current spec? Let's do a quick scan. I don't see any, unless anybody's. I feel like we're good to close.
I don't see any.
Excellent. So we can go ahead and close this out. The next one is contract acknowledgements. So we just need to move around the acknowledgements section, create a new one, and make sure that we have the contract text in it. We already have that in the Tracebook app. We should have something very similar in this one. Really straightforward. I don't see any issues with putting this as part of 1.0. So this was number 530. Next one is we wanted to put a 529, which was, we talked about putting a section that is, what is the relationship of this profile to the VC API? Do we still want to do that as a section? I guess is the question that I have. The definition that we said was a profile. This is a strict subset of the thing that we're based on. And then this is strict subset that we're based on with added information. We wanted to make sure that you do not need to read the VC API spec to understand our spec, and that we may informally reference it, but not normatively reference it. That's what we wanted to put in that section. Unless anybody disagrees?
It's really just the credentials issue verify and presentation proof verify that you're using. Like, that's pretty much the...
Yeah. And the idea here is, you know, what's our relationship with that work item, right?
There's one sort of conceptual difference that I've noticed is, and I don't know what this group thought on this. So the VC API, like the options field, you know, when you issue a credential, for example, you have the credential, the options, and they're of the train of thought that each implementation would be sort of pre-configured with a specific proof type. Yeah. So you wouldn't specify that in the option. As with the traceability, it seems like you do make use of the options field to add information like, well, use this crypto suite or this or that. So that's like
one. So in that sense, we are an extension. I think that's a thing that's important to point out here, right? So point out the options field discrepancy. Right? And I feel like that's a good comment. Thank you for making it clear. Sorry, what was your GitHub name, Patrick? I'm trying to find it.
I'm sorry, what?
It's okay. Comments, we should point out the options field discrepancy between. Okay. I'm going to put that in the... Do we, but the core question is, do we still think a section that is relationship to VC API is an important thing? I think that's the core question here.
And that section would say we use the VC API, here's the link to the VC API, but the actual sort of description of the endpoints would still be included in the endpoints section.
Yeah.
It's just at the end, you want to add a section to say like this was inspired by the VC API or something like that.
Yeah, basically. Does anybody have any objections to this?
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense because also like I know the VC API is used in other test suites. So technically, you know, could mention that by having these endpoints, it, you know, it would be interoperable with other test suites like the data model 2.0 and so on. Like, awesome. That makes sense.
So we're coming up to, we are at 2 p.m. And we did start at 1. Are we okay to at least keep going just to make sure that we go through the interrupt issues at a minimum? Does anybody have any objections to that?
I'm okay.
I can stay. Sorry, Okay. Miss, you were saying something.
We must be approaching the end.
Almost there. There are maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 7 remaining. Of those, I can basically say, I can look at 3 and I'm like, they're very super quick. So I'm going to guess 10 minutes, but okay. Next one is improvements to the abstract, which is issue number 528. Basically, it's a reframing of what are the things we need to do to make sure the abstract looks better. We should make it 3 to 5 paragraphs. We should add more business framing. We should add direct links to related references. And then we should remove the VC API reference and move it to its own relation to the VC API section, right? I think there's no disagreement about this. I feel like this is pretty straightforward, unless anybody disagrees. Okay, I'm going to label it as 1.0. The next one is we need to finalize signing and verification method. This is opened by Mike and...
Link, please.
Sorry, this is number 506. This is assigned to Ori. And the suggestion is adding text to respect on setting this guidelines on market as ready for PR. We had a conversation in October where Ori is still interested, but this is blocked pending V2 discussion. Maybe we should ping Ori and ask him if this is something that he feels should be part of V1.0. Does anybody disagree with that? Any issues with pinging
Ori? We had a comment at the top of this where the question was asked, is VC 2.0 and Trace version 1, what is the relationship there? Are we making that dependency that we're also bumping up to VC 2.0? I don't think we are, right?
No, we are not. We are not. This is purely a question of this specific issue does not care about that, because I think we only use the VC 2.0 upgrade as a placeholder to make sure that, you know, we rediscuss this if there are significant changes that need to be had for VC 2.0. However, our traceability 1.0 work is not dependent on a VC 2.0 change. And so, we need to make a decision of, do we need that list of cryptography as part of 1.0? I feel personally that we should, but, you know, this is Mike's issue and it is assigned to Ori. So I feel like we should ping them and see if they have any other, ideas. Chris, please go ahead.
I just wanted to chime in, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I thought the VC2.0 upgrade tag was meant to pause discussion on this until we were ready to upgrade to VC2.0.
Yes, that is the point of VC2.0 tag. The only thing I want to say is, now that we're cutting a V1.0, do we want to revisit this and say this is part of 1.0, or should it stay as VC2.0 upgrade?
Got it.
Right? Because my gut feeling is this should be part of V1.0, even though that's basically where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Awesome. I'm going to go ahead and put that comment in. We now have best practices for retrieval and ownership of data. This is raised by Chris. Section 8.1 includes, sorry, do you remember this? Can you walk us through it?
This one, I believe I opened this at Ori's behest, having to do with changing the respec. To be honest, I've forgotten what this is about. Let me just read through for a second.
So the end of it says NIST did some work, and the action item was for you to re-review and see if this is still an issue.
Got it. Yeah, I have not done
that. Maybe we should do this as part of 1.0, make sure that that section is clear.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. If you mark it 1.0, I'll make sure I review it.
Worst case scenario, we revisit it next week and we just say this is not part of 1.0, right? Excellent. Next one is 482. Should we update this to be, to use statusless 2021? We wanted to make sure that this is done as part of DC Data Model 2.0 because statusless is currently, there's a bunch of things going on in statusless, including name changes, and it's moving around. Unless I'm misunderstanding. So we resolved to do this together with the VC 2.0 upgrade. Now that we're cutting a 1.0 and you know for a fact that revocation list 2020 is basically deprecated, nobody, like, there's language in that spec that basically says, please don't use this, use status list 2021. What do we need to do in a V1.0 cut? Do we want to switch references to statusless 2021, or do we want to say to remove all references from revocation list 2020? I feel like those are the two real ways to go forward. I don't know if anybody is happy going forward with keeping revocation list 2020. I guess that's the first question.
It sounds to me like it could go. Doesn't status list 2021 cover revocation? Like, isn't it just a better version? Like,
it's almost a 1-to-1. The only difference is you also have another status
purpose. In status
list 2021.
Yeah, you need like the additional purpose field, but the like decoding and coding is the same algorithm.
It's the same flow. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I just did the conformance and I implemented both, and you know they're like different enough that you need like different things. But I think if revocation 2020 can go and just have status list 2021, I feel like that would just streamline a lot of things. But that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody disagree with stating we should So I'm gonna make a statement, and please agree or disagree to it. We should migrate to status list 2021 for 1.0. How do people feel about that?
I agree with that. Yeah, like my only concern would be like backward compatibility with other platforms that are using revocation 2020, but
Revocation has had the tag of please don't use this for at least 2 years. So that is also a thing. But yeah. Okay. I'm going to mark it as V1.0. And if it comes up again, it comes up again. We'll have a conversation about it. Next one is allow JWT in credentials /verify. Chris, this was raised by you. This is issue 453.
Yeah, this one has been around for quite a bit, and it's accounting for the possibility that a request body represents a JWT. I have not had a chance to work on this one at all. It's been assigned to me for a bit, and I'm not 100% sure I would have the time to complete this by the end of the month.
Is this not outdated? Did we just removed the collection on JWTs?
If that's the case, then, and we're not going to be supporting this, then
I feel like we don't need to support it for the 1.0 work. And the difference is, I think this is Jose Jose JWT, right, rather than the old true. I'm forgetting the name for it. JSON Web Token 2020. I think that's what it was called. Something like that, right? That one is no longer a thing. So I want to say we don't need to mark this as 1.0, but we can just keep it open. Chris, this is your issue. Are you okay with that, or?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Awesome. we do have issue number 405, which was raised by Ori, which it says this is an issue to track support for SDJOT. It basically resolves to we don't need to support plus JOT and plus SD-JWT. This seems like it's a VC 2.0 data model issue, to be honest. It's because to my understanding, that is a VC data model 2.0 thing. And to my knowledge, that VC Jose Cose is not actually settled, is it? Does anybody know? Let me put it in a different way. In the previous one, we said we're not going to put in tests for credentials verify to allow a JWT, right? This one is saying, do you want to support SDJOT from 1.0? I want to say no, but I don't know how everybody else feels.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's too ambitious.
Okay. Does anyone disagree with that? Awesome. So to the last issue then, I'm going to put it in chat. This is issue number 359. We need conformance testing for credentials/status. And basically what we do is we currently have negative testing for authentication. That's it. We don't actually test for credentials status. Patrick, please go ahead.
Yeah, one problem I have with this, I made it, you know, it works. I can revoke my credential and then I can verify that it works, but there's no way to know if your implementation is right, if that makes sense. It's not because the algorithm I put in place, even though I read the spec and I use some libraries, how would you test that you actually did revoke your credential? Like there would need to be like a reference verification endpoint or something like this.
This?
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a mistake. But I can answer. We do have a test collection that covers this.
My understanding is this issue basically says that collection only does negative testing for authentication. It doesn't actually do that test. Right? That's the purpose of this issue. And what we want to do is make sure that we do add those tests. Right? But I also remember us having credential status collections, and I think Patrick, you modified that collection in a PR that we opened recently because we changed the credential status to be uppercase instead of lowercase, right?
But yeah, that one
does not check. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that was one problem. Like that was just issuing a credential with a credential status, so it was like lowercase, so you. Like it wasn't,
yeah.
It needed the uppercase, but, so I have the conformance test suite open here. So there's no, there's only negative testing. Yeah. Yeah, there's only negative testing. Yeah. Great.
So, do we believe we need a positive test for /credential/status to be able to check has this credential been revoked correctly?
I feel like that's more in the interrupt test, right? Like there is
we're talking about interrupt test, right? This is this is conformance.
Yeah, so I guess the only thing is there's no test on what the output should be. Maybe there could be a test like, well, I'm expecting like if the credential was successfully revoked, like need this message, like you know this response, and if like the credential ID was invalid, for example, well, yeah, maybe there could be one positive to validate the response.
I believe we should have. I feel like if we do not have a positive test for this, this may be just blocked or something similar by somebody. I don't know how heavy of a lift it would be to add a single positive workflow check where we can say, not workflow, you know what I mean, a single positive flow where we can say credential status, and then you revoke a credential and then you test it again. I don't know how that would work in the conformance setting.
Yeah,
or if this should just be an interop setting instead, an interop test rather than. Do we have an interop test for inertial status?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then do we want both, or are we okay with just saying the interop test can cover it?
Yeah, I think interop could cover it.
Mm-hmm. This is your issue, I guess.
A couple of things. The first thing is that we did mention that since the status list is in flux, we weren't going to do this until that was resolved. But as for whether or not we need a conformance test on this, I do think we still need conformance tests for all the endpoints. But the revoking something and then checking it, that it was revoked properly, I agree that's an interop portion of the test. Yeah.
Okay. So then let's. So do you believe this should not be part of 1.0? It should be part of 2.0 because the status is still in flux?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Then I believe that's all the issues. We have gone through them. If I filter labels by 1.0, I believe we have 11 open issues, and hopefully we can get all of these resolved by the end of January. Next week, let's go through the traceability vocab. We do have 60 issues on traceability vocab. Can I ask people to just make sure that they review any issues and maybe go through them and make sure that they're familiar with them? And at least if there's anything old or closed, to please close it out just to make sure that it works faster. Sorry, that we can go through it quickly, right? And as a reminder, next week we're starting at our 1:30 time rather than our, at our half hour time rather than top of the hour time, which, yeah. I don't know what time zone that is for everybody. Go ahead, Patrick.
I was just wondering if someone has like a 10 minute to have a quick chat, or if there's any way I could ping someone for a meeting, this week. Just wanted to run. So I'm working on an implementation and I just wanted to ask a question or two.
I'm happy to help out any way I can. I can stay on the line today if you'd like.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just a little 10 minute, not even.
Sure.
I really got to go 18 minutes over. Okay. So can we wrap
up? Thank you, everyone. Yes, we're good. Thank you, everyone. And have a great rest of your day.
Yep.
Mahmoud, I'll do the notes this week.
I appreciate it. Do I stop recording and then? So I think I stop recording, then I have a chat with Patrick, and then I'll close the call when Patrick and I leave.
Exactly, and then just make sure that everyone leaves, or you kick everyone. And-